This is HPR episode 2512 entitled, Intro to Git Remote. It is hosted by Klaatu and is about 27 minutes long and carries a clean flag. The summary is all about Git Remote.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hi everyone, this is Hacker Public Radio. My name is Klaatu, and this episode is going to be a continuation of my Git Basics series, I guess is what I'll call it. In the previous episode, we did a paper exercise to illustrate some of the principles of Git, namely the way that a project that two people are working on can diverge and create what we would call a fork in a road if we were traveling along a real-life path, and what we generally do call forks in Git, and we also call, more often than not, just branches, because for whatever reason in computers we use trees or plants as an analogy a lot. So there's this idea of there being a master branch, and then from that branch there are these other branches that diverge, much like on a tree branch, and you have different files within each branch. And then at the end of the episode last time, we created a very basic, kind of rudimentary Git repository, just locally on our own machine. In this episode, I want to set up a little bit of an exercise environment so that we can play around and experience all kinds of fun problems that you might expect to find in the real world. And in order to do that, we can recycle the one that we created initially, but I'm just gonna create a new set with simpler names, to be honest. So I'm gonna make a repository called dev. Well, let's call one Alice, make dir Alice, make dir Bob, and then we're gonna make dir remote server. So we've got three directories. We've got Alice, Bob, and remote server. Cool. So Alice and Bob live far apart, and then remote server is somewhere else. We can imagine it's a cloud hosting service like GitLab or notabug.org or github.com or whatever you happen to use. Now we need to make all of these Git repositories, but they need to be Git repositories of a different sort. Two of them can be the same, but one of them needs to be a special kind of Git repository. And the one that needs to be a special kind is the remote server. That's the one that no one really touches directly. It's off in the cloud somewhere. We don't interact with it directly. We just push and pull to and from it. So let's just go into the alphabetically here. Let's go into Alice's directory, and we'll do, we did this last time. It was a git init. Git space init, and it tells you, hey, you've got a Git repository now. And you might recall, if you do an ls-a, you see that there's a hidden folder called .git, and if you're really mischievous, you could do a git ls.git and look inside of that hidden directory. Of course, you'd never go inside that directory, you'd never mess around with any of the files inside of that directory, but you could look. Okay, so Alice is pretty much set up for now. She's as set up as we can get her set up until we do some other things. So we're going to cd back out into our main directory. We'll go over to Bob, and we'll do the same thing. Git init. Done. ls-a, yep, there's the Git folder. Great. So we have two empty Git repositories. We're going to cd back out one more time and go into the remote server directory. Sorry, you know what? I'm going to change that name because that could get confusing. I thought it would be helpful. I'm going to move remote server to fake remote. There we go. That's better. Okay, now I'm changing into fake remote, and then I'm going to do now don't do this before I do, because this will be different. You'll think it's the same. It's different. I'm doing a git init space dash dash bare, B-A-R-E, and if you do that, it tells you initialized empty git repository in this current directory. Okay, so, and now if you do an ls, you might be surprised at what you see. Now, if you're really astute, you'll notice that the contents of this directory are awfully similar to the contents of the .git directory in Alice's and Bob's local repositories. And in fact, it's exactly the same. It's the same frame, the skeletal framework as the hidden directory in a Git repository. So this is a directory. This would be the back end to your Gitolite server or to your GitLab account or whatever. This is the stuff that nobody interacts with directly. It's the stuff that is tracking the information that you push out to the world. Okay. So what we've just set up are two local repositories for two imaginary developers, and one bare repository on some remote server of some kind. Could be someone's Pi in their bedroom, it could be someone's cloud in a data center, doesn't matter. Point is, it's a remote server. Okay, so now that all of that exists, we'll go back over into Alice's directory and we will create a file. And we did this last time, but we're going to do it again really quick. And we'll just put in the classic hello world. So we'll echo, quote, hello space world, close quote, redirect to 01.txt. And now there's a file there. It's called 01.txt. And now if we do a git status, of course, we should see that there is one untracked file. It is called 01.txt. And it tells us that we can add that file if we want to commit it. So we can do a git add 01.txt and git status again, and it tells us, yep, there's going to be a commit. If you unstage it, it won't be committed, but otherwise this is going to be committed. So let's go ahead and commit it then. So that's a git commit space dash m for message, and then in quotes I'll put added a text file. And it tells me that a file has changed, and there was one insertion, and that's good. So essentially for the local work, if all I'm doing is working locally, I'm done. That's all I had to do. Now, of course, we're not working locally anymore. We want to start sharing our code with our friend Bob. So in order to share it with Bob, we want to push it to some common location, and that is, of course, the fake remote. So what we're going to do is we're going to kind of expand Git's world here. And the way that we do that, right now, Git only is aware of itself. Git, as far as Git knows, it's a local repository. There's no outside world. And you can prove that to yourself by doing a git remote. That's git space remote space dash v for verbose. And you'll get nothing back. There's nothing there. And that's fine, because we can tell it about remotes. We can add a remote to our Git repository. Now, when we say that we're going to add a remote, all we're doing is we're entering some stuff on the in the terminal here into essentially a config file just through a command. So we're going to do a git remote, and the very sort of default canonical way of doing this is git space remote space add space origin space, and then the address of the origin server. Now, I don't know why exactly they chose origin for the default name, but that's what everyone defaults to. I mean, the Git developers just decided that the remote server that you consider your sort of centralized repository in this famously decentralized version control system is going to be called origin. Now, that might confuse you if you're from SVN. I think maybe the equivalent would be trunk, possibly. I could be wrong about that because I've used SVN like once or, well, now about 15 times. But I'm not really super into the culture, so I don't know, or the history. But that's what it's called. It's origin. So when you hear origin, chances are what you're really thinking is the remote server, the one that is not in my room right now, the one that's out there somewhere. Unless, of course, your remote server is a Raspberry Pi in your bedroom, in which case it's just right over there in the corner. But assuming, you know, sort of pretending that everything remote is out there in the world, then that's what the origin would be. Now, you don't have to call it origin, but I guarantee you if you do that, if you call it something other than origin, people will be confused. And by people, I mean you. So git remote add origin, and then for our purposes in this exercise, we're just going to do we're faking Git out. We're lying to it. So we're not actually telling it about a server anywhere. We're telling it about a directory. So I'm just going to do origin dot dot slash h no fake remote, and there it goes. It's created now an origin point called dot dot slash fake remote. So if I do a git remote dash v for verbose, then it tells me that the origin is dot dot slash fake remote for fetch and dot dot slash fake remote for push. And that is what we want. Okay, so now what we can do, so if we do a git log, we see that we've got that one commit that we made just 5 minutes ago, and 3 minutes ago, whatever it is. And then we can do a git remote, nope, we can do a git push dash u, and the dash u stands for set upstream. So you could even do a git push dash dash set dash upstream origin. So we're pushing it to our remote server, our fake remote. And then what are we pushing? We're pushing the current state of our repository, the current committed state of our repository. And the term for that, the shorthand, the designator for that is head, all in capitals. So capital H, capital E, capital A, capital D for delta. And why do we call it head? It's like a playhead on one of them old-time cassette players. You might have seen them somewhere. And Git will use phrases from that, like fast-forwarding and rewinding and things like that. So that's the head designator means whatever has been committed on your local computer right now will get pushed to the origin. You hit return, and it tells you to dot dot slash fake remote, new branch, head, master, branch, master, set up to track remote branch, master, from origin, which is telling you, from now on, your master branch on your local computer is tied, kind of mirrored, linked to the master branch on the origin, on that remote server called origin. So now we're going to go back over, or not back over, we're going to go over to Bob's computer. And I think we've got nothing here, yeah, empty. And if we do a git remote dash v for remote, we'll find that there's no remote setup. So Bob needs to grab this information from the server. Now, he can do that a couple of different ways, but the easiest, most direct way, and I think the normal way, would be to clone the repository. You may have cloned a repository before, or you might have heard the term. Certainly, if you've ever been to one of those public Git hosts, you've probably seen buttons or encouragements that you can clone a repository. No, actually, I think they use fork. Anyway, Git cloning is how you grab a repository from someone else's server and bring it down to your local computer. So we'll do a git clone, and then normally you would do something like maybe git at gitlab.com colon slash blah blah blah, or not colon slash, but just colon not clatu, whatever. But we're not doing that. This is all local. So we're just going to do dot dot slash fake remote. And then we'll tell it that we want to clone that the data that it finds there at fake remote, we want to clone it to the current directory, so I'm going to just put a dot. So git clone dot dot slash fake remote dot. And there you go, I've made my first mistake, and probably if you've been following along, so have you. It tells me that it's a fatal error, the destination path dot already exists and is not an empty directory. Well, so what that is telling me is that Bob should not have made his folder a git repository yet. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to trash.git, and now I'm doing an ls-a, and now I've got an empty repository in Bob's directory, or an empty folder, rather, in Bob's directory. Now I'm going to do the git clone dot dot slash fake remote dot, and it says it's cloning into dot, and it's done. And now if I do an ls, in fact, an ls-a, I see that there's a new dot git directory, that's the one from Alice's repository, plus the text file, cat, or 01.txt, which I'm going to now cat, and it says hello world. So Bob is now mirroring, essentially, the repository from our fake remote. And in fact, we can get more information if we do a git remote dash v for verbose, and it tells us that the origin is slash home slash clatu slash hpr git slash bob slash dot dot slash fake remote for fetch, and the same thing for push. That's a little bit ugly. That's a bit verbose. I mean, we could reset the the origin to just being ./fake remote. In fact, it's not that hard to do. You can do it with a git remote command. So git, I mean, we don't have to, but I'm just going to tell you how to do it, just so you'll get familiar with these kinds of operations. So git space remote space set -url URL origin. So we want to, we're basically resetting the URL for the origin to, I'm just going to put .fake remote. So I do that, and now if you do a git remote -v, you'll see that the fetch address, oh, both of the addresses, okay. I thought I had to do it again for push, but apparently not. So git remote set URL origin .fake remote resets the origin address to just .. I mean, the other one was perfectly valid, but it's kind of ugly and kind of clunky. I mean, going all the way into this directory only to go back one and then into the fake remote seems a little bit silly. So I'm pointing it straight to my fake remote. So setting URLs and even adding new remotes is completely possible. It's something that I do quite frequently, to be honest, and I've done it a lot for a lot of different purposes. So it's something to not be afraid of, I guess. You don't necessarily need to get familiar with it, because maybe that's not your workflow, but it's something to kind of get familiar with in terms of at least demystifying how Git knows magically where to send all of your data or how to get the updates. Speaking of getting updates, we should mess around with that a little bit. We should do some interesting branch operations. But I think for this episode, I think that the job has been done, and the job has been to set up repositories locally for future episodes, and it has been to familiarize you with the git space remote command. I guess we could at least do a proof of concept, because this is running a bit short, I feel. It's only been a couple of, almost 20 minutes, not even 20 minutes yet, I don't think. So, yeah, let's do a quick proof of concept just to prove that, yes, Bob is now on board. So, first what we'll do, just, this is a kind of a little bit of a taste of next episode, but first what we're going to do is do a git branch command, which is simply git space branch. And it tells us that we have one branch, and it's called master, and I think I mentioned this in the previous episode. Master is just the default name for your primary branch. It's the one that gets created for you by default. And we've already done a cat of 01.txt, so it's got the string hello world. So let's say that Bob is a little bit pedantic, and he believes that hello world should be capitalized, hello, capital H, world, and then it should have a full stop at the end, so we'll add that. And then just to populate this file a little bit more, we'll add a second line, we'll keep that blank, and then on the third line, we'll put something like welcome to git full stop. There. So now we've got three lines in this file. So he has just changed a file in the master branch. Now what he might do, because Bob and Alice are apparently kind of new to git, if they weren't new to git, they would be using branches already, but they're new to git and they're fearless, and so they say, okay, that's fine. Let's Bob can just push that straight to master. So we'll do a git add, and then we'll do a git add either dot for adding everything in this current directory, which is 01.txt, or you can do a git add 01.txt, whatever you feel most comfortable with. And then git commit -m for message, quote, and in the quotes we'll add corrected syntax, corrected, let's just do Bob's first commit there. Okay, there we go, Bob's first commit. And now we'll do a git push. Now here's the thing about, actually no, this is because this is master. So we're going to do a git push origin head. Now online you will see a lot of people just doing a git push, and technically speaking that's perfectly valid. I am just urging you not to do that. I favor verbosity sometimes and explicitness, and this is one of the cases where I really, really do encourage it. Because if you've got a bunch of branches with a bunch of stuff in them, and you just type in git push, surprise, surprise, you've pushed all kinds of things to your remote that maybe you didn't really mean to. So I like to be very explicit, git push origin. So we're pushing stuff to the origin, which is fake remote. And what are we pushing to origin? We're pushing the state of our committed repository right now, which is, of course, represented by the designator head return. Oops, I hit the up arrow and said return. And there it goes. It says writing objects, 3 of 3, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so now we'll change directory back over to Alice's directory. We do an ls. We still have just the one file. That's good. We do a cat of 01.txt, and it's just hello world, all lowercase, no punctuation. So how does she get those changes from the remote repository? Well, there are a couple of different ways. There's a shorthand way, which, as you can probably guess, I'm not going to use. And there's the actual way, like there's the thing that's actually happening behind the scenes of that shorthand command. So the shorthand command, just so you'll know, is git pull. And you will use git pull, and I use git pull all the time. But to begin with, I think git pull is a little bit of again, it's got a little bit of magic to it, because it does two separate actions kind of all at once. So what it does actually is it does a git fetch, and then it does a git merge of something. Okay? So what we're going to do then is we're going to do a git fetch. And when I say git fetch, when I type that in and hit return, it gives me some feedback, and it says counting objects 3, done. Total 3, delta 0. Unpacking objects 100%, 3 of 3, done. From ../fake remote. That's my remote server, so that's good. And then it gives me some hashes. It tells me that the D52 to E1E4. And then it tells me master, and then a little arrow to origin/master. Okay? So that's just something to keep in mind. You'll see those terms again very soon. So now if I do a git log, I see that I still only have one log entry, and that was added a text file, which I did earlier in this episode. So nothing from Bob yet, as far as we can tell. So how do I get the information that I know, that you and I both know, should be there? We as Bob just pushed some information to fake remote. So how do we get the information that we know we've just surely received? How do we get it into our workspace? Well, I like to think of this in terms a little bit of, if you've ever used GIMP, then you'll know that when you select something and you copy something, like you, let's say you've got a picture, you select it, just select a space, a portion of it, and you copy, or you cut maybe, and then you paste it back in. When you paste it, it comes in as this floating layer. And that floating layer you can see, you can interact with, you can move it around, but until you anchor it to something, it's just a floating layer. It's kind of a meta layer or a temporary plane of existence. So that's kind of how I think of what we got from fetch. Fetch is this stuff, and it's there on our repository, but it hasn't been merged into any branch yet. And in fact, you can technically see this information. I mean, not exactly, but you can get some insight into this by doing a git space branch space --all. And that shows you where, if you'll recall, when we just do a git branch, it's just master, yeah? But if we do a git branch all --all, then we see that there's master, but then there's like this secret hidden repository, or the branch called remotes/origin/master. So that's more or less where that stuff is residing, the stuff that we fetched is kind of hiding away in that origin/master branch. So the way to get that stuff into our master branch is we do a git merge, and then the word master, and then origin/master. I told you were going to see that term again. The syntax for the actual merge is a little bit flexible, to be honest. The way that I was taught to do it was git space merge space master, which is the name of your current branch, and then space origin/master, which is the source of the thing that you are merging. So you can do it that way. Honestly, you can also just do git merge origin/master because it defaults to merging that to your current branch. And since we are currently on the master branch, it'll just get merged into where we are right now. I am a creature of habit, and I like explicit commands, so I'm going to do git merge master origin/master. Now understand, of course, and I think you do understand, but understand that our master branch here is our local master branch, and we are therefore merging the master branch in a different namespace, as it were, to this one. So origin slash master is distinct from just master. All right, I'm going to hit return on this, and it shows me that it is merging, updating D5.2 to E1.4, fast forward 01.txt, 4 additions, 1 file changed, 3 insertions, and 1 deletion. And if I do a cat 01.txt, now Alice's file is matching Bob's. It's hello world, full stop, blank line, welcome to Git, full stop. There you go. That was 2 different repositories pushing and fetching and merging such that they are now in sync again. In the next episode, we will do a bunch more stuff with branches, lots of Git branch work. We'll even do a Git conflict, which usually sends shivers down users' spines, so that'll be cool. Tune in. It'll be amazing.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.